Good morning, this is Doug with the comics for Sunday, November 10th. First up is Zits by Jerry Scott and Jim Borgman. So the first panel shows Jeremy walking through the house. In the second panel, though, he's starting to turn into a python. His from his waist down, he's one long tail. And the third panel, it's all the way, it's from his neck down. His head is the only thing still normal. And he's slithering up and over top of the refrigerator, at which point his jaw opens large enough to encompass the entire refrigerator, and he slithers down over top of it, swallowing the entire refrigerator. Fifth panel shows him sliding along the floor with just his head at the front and a giant rectangular in his snake body. And the last panel shows him coming up to his mother with a turkey leg in his mouth and a whole ham under his arm, and he says, "There's nothing to eat." And she goes, "I just went to the store." For Better or Worse by Lynn Johnston. Lynn's got an old tape recorder out. She's listening to some songs, and first one is she hears, "Now is the hour when we must say goodbye. Soon I'll be sailing across far across the sea. There'll be bluebirds over the white cliffs of Dover tomorrow. Just you wait and see." And then it goes to when Johnny comes marching home again. Hurrah, hurrah. And Elle has joined her, and Elizabeth has joined her, and she says, "I remember my dad singing those songs. He used to sing them over and over again." And she, the daughter says, "Why?" And mom says, "I guess they reminded him of the wonderful people he met overseas during the war." Liz says, "Did your grandpa have a lot of friends over there?" And she says, "Uh-huh. Yeah, he was lucky." Mom continues, "He sure was. He is one of the ones who came home." Baby Blues by Rick Kirkman and Jerry Scott. So Hammy comes into Zoe and says, "What are you doing, Zoe?" And she says, "Who said that?" And he said, "Me. I'm right here." And she's looking around the room and she says, "I hear you, but I can't see you." And Hammy says, "You mean I'm invisible?" And she says, "You must be." He walks out of the room going, "Yes, yes, yes." And then from off the panel, you see, "Hammy, put those cookies back." And he comes in and says, "Mom saw me." And she says, "That's odd. Try this magic feather." And then from off the panel, you hear, "Hammy, what did I just say?" And he says, "Nuts." Zoe's laying back on her bed now saying, "I could do this all day." Blondie by Dean Young and John Marshall. So Dagwood's taken off his coat and he says, "It was all the boss's fault." And she says, "Oh my goodness, dear, tell me all about it." They're sitting on the couch and she's holding his hand. And he says, "I had the worst day ever because of the boss's tirades. Nothing I did was good enough for him. The man is a tyrant." And she gives him a kiss on the cheek and says, "You poor thing." Meanwhile, at Dither's house, Dithers is on the couch with his wife, and he says, "I had the worst day ever, and it was all Bumstead's fault." And she says, "You poor thing," and gives him a kiss on the cheek. High and Lois by Greg and Brian Walker. High comes in and says to Lois, "You want to get a babysitter and do something fun?" And she says, "Sure, it's been a while." And he says, "How about that Italian place, Luca's, followed by mini golf?" She says, "Well, Luca's is closed, and the mini golf is now a parking lot." So he tries some more. Monero's, condos. Da Vinci's, bank. Bolarama, warehouse. The Playhouse, computer store. And he says, "Wow, I guess it really has been a while." And Lois says, "Ancient history. And our babysitters all went off to college." Peanuts by Charles Schultz. First panel shows Woodstock flying into the face of a giant sunflower. And then we've got Snoopy on the roof of his doghouse reading a book, and Woodstock just hanging out. And Snoopy's laying down reading a book, and Woodstock's just hanging out. Finally, Snoopy says, "It says here that the hummingbird is the only winged creature that can flap his wings fast enough to be able to hover motionless in the air." That's very interesting. Woodstock has heard this and decides to give it a try, and he takes up off the doghouse and immediately goes clunk with lots of stars on the ground. Snoopy jumps, And Snoopy says, as he continues reading, 1/10 of a second is not a hover. Garfield by Jim Davis. So the first panel shows Garfield asleep in his bed with big Z's coming out. And his little nephew is there with his playing a game on a cell phone or a tablet. And he's tappity tap tap tappity tap tap tappity tappity tappity. And Garfield's still trying to sleep. And finally, the cell phone goes ding, whoop, whoop, whoop. You've won, you've won. Garfield, of course, comes flying up out of the bed, shocked and surprised and at the all the noise, and gives that little nephew a big kick right out of the panel. So then the third-to-last panel, we see Garfield sitting there trying to go back to sleep all covered up, and he sees the phone out of the corner of his eye. He picks it up and starts playing that silly game, tappity-tap-tap, tappity-tap-tap. Marmaduke by Brad and Paul Anderson. Phil's out in the yard, it's hot, and it's sweaty, and he's sitting in the lounge chair with his tablet reading, and Marmaduke comes by panting and really really hot, and Phil says, be patient, it'll be winter and cold soon enough. And Marmaduke gives him a look that says, that doesn't solve today's problem. So the next panel shows Marmaduke walking by with the garden hose wrapped all around him and a shovel in his mouth. And then in the next panel, it's arf, woof, woof, rough, bark, woof, and a bunch of dogs are outside the fence, and Marmaduke's woofing back at him, and Phil's up, and he's letting him in the gate. He says, I'm sorry, but we don't have a swimming pool because all these dogs have come in with their swim toys. And the kids come screaming up and going, we do now, surf's up, yippee. They've got their bathing suits on and their pool toys, and I guess Marmaduke has dug a pool. Doggone funny, Ocala, Florida, Pam and Charles Murphy have a black mini poodle who receives a weekly bath, and when it's over, she runs and leaps up and down the hall to dry herself off and then stops to make between laps to make sure she gets applauded. All right, so Nancy by Olivia James. Nancy's sitting here in the first panel saying, I could stay mad all day, but I better not. And she's got a little cloud of despair over her head. She starts to untangle it in the second and third panels. And finally, in the fourth panel, Aunt Fritzy says, oh, Nancy, you wouldn't happen to know who slammed the front door so hard that all the decorations fell off, would you? And she's got her hand on her heart and her left hand up in the air. And she says, oh, heavens, no, Aunt Fritzy, I don't know. And the little string of despair over her head is now in the shape of a halo. Fraz by Jeff Mallett. Fraz is talking to one of the kids, and he says, different running shoes work better for different distances, speeds, and different events. And sometimes shoe companies will come out with something new, and I just want to try. And since it's courting injury to run on a shoe that's all broken down, I retire any pair after 300 to 500 miles. So I end up with a huge stash of old shoes that are perfectly good for knocking around in. And the little girl says, or wearing to work. And he says, exactly, that's why I seem to have on a different pair each day. And she says, I knew all that, Fraz. I was wondering why this doesn't happen more often, pointing at his shoes, which happen to be one green and one red one. And he says, me too, now that you bring that up. The Middletons by Ralph Dunnigan and Dana Summers. So Mother Middleton has done a piece of modern art, and it's got two white stripes on the left side with a red stripe between them, then a yellow stripe, and then a white stripe again. And she says to Middleton, you hung my painting upside down. So she's got another one out there, and she says, this is the best wildlife painting I've ever done. Her friends come up and go, wow, nice still life. A third one says, it's a seascape. And her boyfriend Horace comes up and says, it looks like a nice alpine scene, at which time Mother Middleton says, best abstract painting I've ever done. Get Fuzzy by Darby Conley. Well, Bucky is abusing the energy-saving plan around the house again, and Satch comes in and says, Bucky, every single lamp and appliance in this house is on. I found a sock in the toaster oven. And Bucky says, is it done? I didn't hear any bell. And Satch says. Ever heard of a little thing called global warming? Bucky replies, global warming, gullible warming, more like it. I seem to remember a little thing called January was pretty lame. And Satch says, turn everything off you're not using. And Bucky says, oh, boo-hoo, every time a microwave dings, an angelfish loses a reef. Satch says, do you know how much electricity a single light bulb uses? Bucky, less than the X-ray machine you're going to use after I break that bulb on your head. Satch grabs Bucky's, dragging him in the other room, and he says, turn them off. Bucky says, hey, how many trees did you have to hug to get that strong? Satch says, I said, turn them off. Bucky yells, help, help, I'm being enlightened. Beetle Bailey by Mort Walker. How's Beetle behaving today, Sarge, the corporal says. Sarge replies, okay. And then just a few minutes ago, or the next panel, Beetle hits him in the back of the head with the mop end as he's trying to wring it out. And he says, ouch, Beetle, you're nothing but trouble. He says, aw, Sarge, think of the laughs we've had. Remember the day your pants caught on fire? And it shows Beetle trying to light a fire, but he's got the lighter lit and holding it behind him. And, of course, Sarge is standing there, your pants get caught on fire. Or getting soup spilled on you, and it shows Beetle tripping over a bucket and filling a whole huge pot of soup, spilling it on Sarge. Or that slippery paint can as Beetle climbs the ladder and the paint falls off the ladder and hits Sarge right on the head. And he says, I really was trying to fix that water pipe. And it shows Sarge being blown right out the door of the barracks from the broken water pipe. Beetle says, see, haven't we had fun over the years? Sarge says, all that stuff happened last week. Jumpstart by Rob Armstrong. So JoJo and his buddy are standing on the street, and he says, don't look now, but here come Willoughby, Percival, and Cross, the bullies. He says, quickly, how quick can you change your belt from yellow to black? Because JoJo's wearing his karate stuff. And they come up and they go, give us your money. And his buddy says, that's funny. Obviously, you guys are oblivious to the meaning of JoJo's belt he's wearing. It's black, JoJo says. My hands and feet are lethal weapons. Let's train for a formal bout next Saturday. And his friend says, may the best fighter win. Percival says, did this geek just challenge us to a fight? And Willoughby says, he did. And Cross says, oh, fun. As they start to grab JoJo, and he says, for next Saturday, guys, stay with me. Stay with me. Dennis the Menace by Hank Ketchum. So Dennis is watching TV with Mrs. Wilson, and he says, I love infomercials. She said, I love infomercials. I'm always finding things that we need. And the announcer on TV says, here's something that everyone could use. And she says, a gadget that tracks your every move? Huh, what we need is a gadget that gets us moving back on our tracks, as you see Mr. Wilson fast asleep in his recliner. Red and Rover by Brian Bassett. Red's at the bus stop saying, Burr, I should have listened to Mom, River, Rover, quick, run and grab my heavy wool coat hanging by the front door. So Rover takes off, but then the bus comes. What should he do? Red has no choice, but he has to get on the bus, and it leaves shortly before Red Rover comes screeching back up with a coat in his hand, in his mouth. He looks around, and Red's gone, so he lays the coat down on the pavement there in the sidewalk at the bus stop and curls up in it, and he's going to wait for Red to return at the end of school. Pearls Before Swine by Stephen Pestis. It's the Crocs. The priest Croc says, Larry, I haven't noticed you making any contributions to church lately. Larry replies, yeah, me save money by beer. Priest continues, well, not to be too blunt about it, but I think the blessings of God are a bit more important. Larry, what me need that for? Me got beer. Priest continues, because one day there will be a great rapture where all the believers will suddenly disappear from earth and be transported to heaven, while those still here will suffer for eternity. In fact, and right then the lights go out, and Larry says, oh, look like me blow fuse. We blow fuse, me go flip switch. So Larry goes and turns the lights back on, and of course everybody else is gone. All their drink cups are laying on the ground, and he drops his beer and says, he's screaming. And then, meanwhile, in the closet, hiding in the closet seems unethical, Father. We do what we must, son. And out there and all alone, Larry's going, me donate everything. Give beer to orphans. Agnes by Tony Cochran. So Agnes's buddy comes up and says, what are you building? Agnes replies, a ski jump. It's only about 2 feet high. And she says, it's not very high. And Agnes says, because I'm afraid of heights. She says, you won't get to ski very fast. Agnes replies, fine, I'm also afraid of fast. Mutts by Patrick McDonald, Shelter Stories. So it shows a mom and a little boy at the shelter, and there's a cute little puppy there, and the little puppy and little boy hit it right off. So mom fills out the adoption papers, and as they're leaving, and the dog is just in love with the little boy and so happy to be going to a permanent home. But then he thinks, and he stops, and he runs back and hugs the shelter worker. And the caption reads, thanks to all the shelter workers. Dilbert by Scott Adams. Dilbert's on the phone with a customer, and he says, if you have any problems with the software, just give me a call. The customer says, what if you die or you're in a coma? Dilbert replies, well, in those cases, I would not return your call. The customer says, so you're lying about getting back to me? And Dilbert says, no, I'm making a normal kind of generalization, which I assumed you would understand. Now the customer is getting irate, and he says, okay, so now you're calling me stupid, and you're a liar? Dilbert says, if a liar calls you stupid, wouldn't that mean you are smart? The customer says, fair point. Dilbert replies, thanks, I'm proud of it. A couple of riddles from Doodles. Where do cowboys cook their meals? On the range. And did you hear about the guy who invented breath fresheners? He made a mint. Woomo by Mikhail Wolf and Anders Morgenthaler. So the scene is the ocean, I assume. There's a house floating on big floats. Off in the distance, you can see a very tiny little island with trees coming out of the top of it. And there's a realtor showing this house on the floats to a young couple. And he says, the price is high because you've got a land view. And the caption reads, real estate after the ice caps melt. And that is the end of the comics for Sunday, November 10th. Have a great day.